lest I forget the agony, lest I forget what he's done for me. Lead me to Calvary. Don't ever forget what was done for you at Calvary. Some stood at the foot of the cross. Some were blessed. There were 12 disciples, but only one showed up. He was at Calvary. He saw the Savior. So whatever you're doing in life, wherever God has taken you in life, don't forget Calvary. Because without the shedding of his blood, where would we be? God sent his only son who died for you and me. Don't forget Calvary. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I wasn't going to try to sing, y'all. I'm going to have to talk to Maestro. He's been trying to get me to sing. Amen. All right. We are going to hear a word from the Lord today. Let me read for your hearing the text, the sermonic text for this morning. It's in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, and then verses 11 through 16. Let me read it for your hearing. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The grass withers and the flower fades thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let us pray. God, we come this morning at such a time as this, Lord, that you have ordained. At such a time, Lord, in this nation that you're calling our attention to, all of the things that are happening, Lord, around this country, Lord. And we come now to the house of prayer to hear a word from you. So bless us now, Lord, as we enter into this time where your word will be preached, Lord. We just pray that someone will be blessed, that someone will hear from you. Now, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, I thank you for being my strength, and I thank you for being my redeemer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. But what's happening now? America is at war with DEI to eliminate it. This war on DEI has revealed hate, fear, insecurities, loss of income, vitriol that we haven't seen in many years. And it starts at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It is used relentlessly in political campaigns to gain power, to no matter what the haters scream and shout. The American reality tells us that there is a need for DEI, a need to level the playing field in education, in medicine, in corporate America. There is a need, and here in other areas as well. DEI is not only a racial issue, it's a humanity issue. And for many of us, many that you know, it's bad news, sad news, that this nation has gone into a nation of disunity and a nation that hate reigns the day. Now that's man's world. That's the world we live in. But I'm so glad that we have a world that God controls. And the good news is that God is still in charge. And so while you pray with me this morning, there is a word today that would encourage and confirm us in our discipleship journey. A word that prayerfully leads us to understand the biblical view of how God speaks through his church. And so for a few moments this morning, while you pray with me, I want to talk from this thought. How does God use DEI to speak through his church? So how does God do that? Well, and thank you for the inquiring minds here today. I always say that Good Hope always asks the right questions. And so for the first thing I want you to see here in our chosen text is this first thought. We must recognize that God uses believers, and he has given believers diverse spiritual gifts to use in the church. In verses 11 through 13, we see what God has given different gifts to different people. And he's given it to the church. And let me define what the church is. The church, the ecclesia, is the called out. In the Bible, that there are several images of the church. It's written as the bride of Christ, the royal priesthood, the temple of God. Here in this letter, Paul uses the image of a body, the body of Christ. And with a body, there has to be a head. So therefore, the head is Jesus Christ. This church, the body, is a living organism. It's not a religious organization. And a living organism means that it should grow and it should develop. When you read the Bible and you see the things about the church, there's probably over 100 metaphors that has a statement referring to the Bible, and it uses the reference or the metaphor as the people of God. So the Bible considers the church the people of God. And with being the people of God, we are committed to one another because the body needs unity to work. It stresses the dependence of members on one another. Paul here in this letter, in the first several verses of chapter 4, he talks about one faith, one baptism, one hope. He's talking and he's writing to a band of believers that have come together, Jews and Gentiles. So they had different cultures mending together, all because they believed in Jesus Christ. But they didn't leave where they came from, where they left it. They brought all of that with them. So Paul is writing this letter to enforce or get them to see that now that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, is one hope, is one faith, is one baptism, is one God and Father in all. And so he is stressing the unity of these believers. And so when he writes this letter to Ephesus believers, he understands that there are several things going on. And so he wants them to make sure they understand what church is. And we understand it when God declared, or Jesus declared it in Matthew 16 and 18. And Peter answered the question, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And in verse 18, Jesus responded also to say that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. God, through Jesus Christ, declared that his church that is being built, he will be the leader. And so when we see God declaring what the church is, it's God's church. And because it's God's church, because we are the body of Christ, he takes care of the body. He provides to the body what the body needs. And so we see here in verse 11, because of that, he gives to the body diverse spiritual gifts. Don't miss that word, diverse. Everybody ain't got the same gift. All of us got a different gift. And because we are diverse in the gifts, that means we have some unity, because that also means that since I ain't got it all, I got to go to somebody that's got what I don't have. So diversity is important in the body. And so God sets this up and he gives this idea of diversity of gifts. Now these gifts don't come from you and I, they come from the Holy Spirit. And because they're Holy Spirit given, you and I can rest that God is going to give us what we need when we need it. And God gives these gifts in very different ways. He had 12 disciples and all 12 had a different gift. The body of Christ today all over the world is many, many, many millions and millions and millions. And we all have a different gift. That's the power of what God has given to his church. And when we speak of gifts, there's essentially two categories found in Scripture. There's the category of gifts called service and the category called speak. You find that in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 10 and 11, and Peter writes, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." There is no comprehensive list of the gifts. They are found in four different places in the Bible. If you really want to understand what your gift is, we here at the Good Hope Church, we have our Discovery 301. You can participate in that and we'll help you discover how God has gifted you. You can always go online, sign up, let us know you're coming, but it's the benefit for the believer to know how God has gifted them for a reason. Now here in this text, when Paul writes it, he says to them that God, to these believers, that God has given all of you a gift. Not to put in your back pocket, not to sit on it, not to say thank you, Jesus, and move on. No, the gift is given for a purpose, to equip the body, to do service, and to grow and to strengthen. And so God gives these diverse gifts to edify the body and to prepare us to work. These gifts, they function in the body because it's used to unify the body, to help you and I become all that God wants us to be. Spiritual gifts are given for us, the believers in Jesus Christ, to be effective in the work of Jesus. You can't take it light. You can't say, I don't know what it is, because you have every opportunity to understand what it is. You can't ignore what God has given you, because when you ignore the spiritual gift God has given you, you in effect become ineffective in the walk. You need to know what God has given you. You might have an idea. Some of the gifts are very clear. There's gifts called exhortation, and exhortation is speaking. Exhortation is singing. Exhortation is teaching. So if you know you can sing, you already know you got a gift. But now if all you're doing is singing at the house, ain't nobody benefiting that but you. God has given you a gift to sing. And if you can sing, you ought to be singing his praises somewhere to his people. That's how the gift works in the body. So God is showing us the benefit of how he uses gifts in his church. God speaks to us to use us in his body. A spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. My professor would say, God does a work through us and a work in us. The spiritual gifts are used to perform that work. And when he works in us, it strengthens us to peel off all of the issues of life that burdens us down. It works in us when we're dealing with strongholds that we can't shake off. When God is working in us, he's working in us so that he can do something through us. And so when we allow God to work with us, he helps us along the discipleship journey. And we want to help you on that journey. We're not here just to say, go do it. No, we want to make sure we extend to you an opportunity to come and understand how God has gifted you. And when you see someone walking in their gift, you are blessed. You receive the benefit of them using what God has gifted them to be. One of the open door mission groups that we had earlier last year, I had a chance to have one of the groups, and there was a brother in the group that he came every week ready. He worked it, he studied it, he was ready. And he didn't let Rim Bell start. He let, I got it. And all he talked about was sharing Christ, sharing Jesus. And as time went on, I say, this brother, he's going to preach or something. God is going to use him in evangelism is what the Spirit is speaking to me. So as we finished and we wrapped up Rooted, he went online and did his own thing with finding spiritual gifts. And the next time I saw him, he said, Rebel, I got something to tell you. I did the gifts. This is what he told me, evangelism. And I looked at him and said, man, I knew that already. Just because of your passion, just because of what God was doing in you, he was setting you up so that he could do something through you. And that's what God does with our spiritual gifts. And the beauty of the gift is diverse. God set that up. America, you ain't set up nothing. God set this thing up. All of us need to appreciate diversity. All of us need to appreciate that all of us are not the same. I don't know if you ever been somewhere and just everything look like it's the same. You be like, Lord, let me get out of here. We want diversity. We want differences. Differences bring unity. They don't bring disunity. And in the Bible and in God's word, he wants unity in his church. Diversity brings unity. Next thing I want you to see here in the text is that not only does he give diverse spiritual gifts, we must recognize that every believer is given a spiritual gift by God's grace. This grace, a special gift, is freely given by God to each believer. It's freely given to each one is equal. God gives us our own gift. Everybody that has accepted Christ gets a gift. You don't pick and choose. God does. Because the text says, according to Christ, how Christ initiated the gift. All of us come to the body of Christ equal, same floor. Nobody is better, nobody is less. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So all of us have to come to the foot of the cross. All of us have to find ourselves in the body of Christ. So we can't walk around acting like we all led in a piece of change. We see somebody struggling, we can't act like they need to get it together. No, you ain't but a second from falling apart yourself. All of us need to help somebody. And because all of us have been given this gift, God is going to use that gift somewhere in the body. We don't know where, we don't know how, but God is going to use the gift in the body. You know somebody already. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about yourself. You're thinking about how God can use you in the church. And I would say to you that Rooters is a good start. It'll help you on your journey. It'll help you to see how God wants you to work in the body. Now, he gives this special gift of grace. And when you look at it, and you look at that word grace, it is profound. It's an awesome word because it goes beyond what you and I can even think or imagine that it does. A songwriter tried to pin it down and called it amazing grace. Somebody tried to pin it down and called it some other grace. But you and I cannot adequately express in words the power of grace. It's too powerful for us. The only thing we can do is experience it. And this is how powerful it is. We experience it day by day. Jeremiah said morning by morning, second by second, we experience God's grace. You can't put a tag on it other than to say, thank you for grace. Thank you that you thought of me enough, Lord, to give me grace one more day. The power of grace. And when we look at grace, there are two views of it. There's a special grace and a common grace. And when we think about common grace, it is undeserved favor God extends universally to all humans, believers and unbelievers alike. And it's done in the form of earthly and material blessings. What do you mean, preacher? Well, Matthew 5:45 gives it this way. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good. And he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. And then there is special grace. Special grace. This is God's unmerited favor and kindness given as a free gift. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, he put it this way, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The power of grace in the body of Christ keeps us all humble. The author of a book titled Messy Spirituality, Pastor Mike Iaconelli, he writes about the power of grace, and he says that all of us are living unfinished. Unfinished. Yeah, he said unfinished. That means you're imperfect. That means you ain't there yet. That means you're incomplete. That means that you're in process. You're unfinished. So in God's grace, he uses all of your unfinishedness to do his work. Oh, you think you're done? No, you're not done. You ain't done till you're gone. All of us are in a state of unfinishedness. God is working on all of us. God is putting all of our pieces together. And in the midst of the imperfect that we have, God still gives grace. God still uses us in our imperfection. Oh, you're not seeing it yet. Grace allows God to use you when you know you don't deserve it. Grace allows you to tell somebody about a Savior who can save their soul when you know you still got some messy spirituality. Grace in your imperfection and unfinishedness allows you to sing when you know you ain't got no business singing. Grace in your imperfection and you're wondering what's next in your life and not trusting God. Grace allows you to keep up the next morning. Allows you to get up and say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today, but by your grace, I'm going. Grace helps us in our unfinishedness. And the writer says that none of us are finished until we get to glory. Well, I got news for you. All of us in here today, we're unfinished. But yet,
by grace. God uses all of us. And this is the power of grace here at the Good Hope Church. Since we started our discipleship culture, God is using all of this imperfection in this house. I just told you that we have a church that we're working with. They got 100 people that have now started rooted. God using this church to spread the discipleship culture. And ain't nobody at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church can stand today and say they've crossed all their T's, dotted all their I's, put the commas in the right place. And if you did, I'm going to run away from you, because God's going to do something to you. But none of us can stand and say we got it right. All of us are unfinished. And I read that, I couldn't get off of it, because it looked like it hit something. Because I thought about unfinished. And I thought about, if I'm unfinished, that means I got something to do. And God has something for all of us to do until we finish. We got to go all the way until we can't go no more. God wants to use us. And grace is how he uses us. Grace is how he uses us in the body of Christ. God speaks to us. God speaks to us when we see somebody that maybe don't look like they got it together. And instead of condemnation, we walk up to them and say, how can I help you? What can I do for you? Grace speaks to us first before we speak to somebody else. Grace works in us first before we can go help somebody else. Grace, not your goody-two-shoes attitude. Not your self-righteous attitude. Not your, well, they needed to get it together on their own attitude. No, grace helps you to see that this is a child of God. And I'm a child of God. And that's by the grace of God I am where I am. So I need to do all that I can to help them to get what God wants them to get to. That's grace. That's what grace looks like. And in the body of Christ, Paul is trying to get these believers to understand that grace brings unity. Grace brings hope. Grace brings all that you need in the body. And it gives it that because the body needs to grow and it needs to be stronger and it needs to be complete. That's what grace does. And Paul makes sure they understand the power of grace. We must use grace in the body to help others. You know some believers that need help. You know somebody that's struggling. You know somebody that can't quite get it together. They've been trying up and down, in and out. Just can't seem to get it together. Grace lets you see them in a different light to do all that you can. Read a story, Charlie Brown, it was the cartoonist, wrote this story about Charlie, that they were on a cruise. And on that cruise, there were some people that would get their deck chair out and sit it at the front of the cruise ship because they were excited to see where they were going. Some got their deck chair out and put it to the back of the ship because they were excited to see just how far they've come. And so the cartoonist asked Charlie Brown, where would you put your deck chair? And sadly, Charlie Brown says, I can't unfold my chair. What you mean, preacher? Life can mess you up so bad that you can't unfold your chair. You need somebody to help you to see what God is doing. And because of the grace that God gives us in the body, he wants us to use what we have to help somebody unfold their chair. I don't know who you need to help. I don't know who God is putting on your heart. But on this discipleship journey, I'm quite sure he has. And he's calling you to be the one that helps somebody. God is putting that in your heart. Hear ye the Lord. He's speaking to you.
It didn't all come from the pulpit. It didn't all come from the different ministry. It comes from the body. And the body has many parts. You and I. God is calling us to speak to his body, to strengthen it, to help it grow. And lastly, I need you to see that we must recognize that the body of Christ includes all believers working together to grow in Christ and in his love. The challenge that Paul had with these believers is that everybody kind of had their own agenda. And so he had to work on getting them unified and looking at God one way. He had to get them focused on what God has called them to be in this new that they were dealing with, this new belief, this new way of life that they were experiencing. So Paul was trying to show them what the body of Christ ought to look like and the benefits of what it looks like and how God can use it. These believers were fairly new. They were fairly young. When this letter is written, is believed to be have written in AD 60, 62. Well, that means that Christ and the way of life that people were developing, growing, had only been in existence about 30, 35 years. All of this was new to people, and God was using Paul and the disciples to spread the gospel and to spread all of the doctrines that were in place. And here Paul had an opportunity to let these believers know that what's important is that we're on one accord. What's important is that we're all facing the same way and doing the same thing. That's why we have one hope. That's why we have one God. That's why we have one faith. That's why we have one love. Not all of the stuff that we see all over the place. Oh, you've been in Houston. You sit on the corner of the Hebrew Israelites. You've seen them. You didn't want to talk to them. When I started talking to them, they had to be pulled away because they think they're ministering to me, but they got that thing wrong. I'm ministering to you. You know that Saturday morning touch on the door? Lord Jesus, what do they want? Y'all know who I'm talking about. Jehovah's Witnesses. Instead of asking what do they want, say, can you come in for some coffee? I want to talk to you. God uses those moments for us. Not only in those moments, but here in the church, here in this building, God uses the same moments. Now, I know there are some Sundays you don't want to be bothered. I just came here for church. Don't bother me. I'm getting out the side door. I don't want to be bothered with them people. That ain't the body of Christ. The body of Christ is designed that we all help one another. And you can't help if you're running. Matter of fact, sometimes when you're running, you might run right into where you need to help. That's what God does. And so in the body of Christ, we're all interconnected. We're all working as God would want us to work. There's something that comes from that. Unity in the body. Blessings in the body. Everybody get a benefit. And who is the everybody? All them imperfect people. All them unfinished folk. All of the people that ain't got it together yet. When you are working in the body, you are building up the body, strengthening the body so that you can do what the text says. You can move away from the immaturity of life into a more mature walk with God in the body. And so God includes all of us in the body that has come to a saving faith. And with that inclusion, we got a charge. We can't keep it to ourselves. An old Good Hope in the Fourth Ward, there was a Sister Mitchell. She's about this tall. She would sing that song. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just couldn't keep it to myself. And when you know God's been good to you, you're going to have that feeling that I can't keep it to myself. I got to tell somebody what God has done for me. I got to let somebody know that I was imperfect, but God walked with me through my imperfection. I'm unfinished, but God is still walking with me in my unfinishedness. God is still doing something to me that I got to make sure I tell you what's going on. God uses his church in a very powerful way. We're all interconnected. Here in the text, in verse 16, he said he makes the body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what God wants to do in the body. What does that look like? Well, I read a story about the California redwood trees. Those are redwood trees that grow in massive sizes. Now, the secret to their stability and longevity is that the roots of those trees are interconnected, deep into the root of the ground. In other words, you can't mess with one without messing with the whole. When fierce winds blow, their connectedness allows them to borrow from one another and stand strong. God designed that California redwood tree. That's God's design. So you take that design, and so in the body of Christ, as we're all interconnected, as we're all tied to one another, trouble comes. All of us ought to help one another, stand up against the trouble. When issues come, we ought to interconnect and take care of one another, because the text says we have to work perfectly together. That's God using diversity, equity, and inclusion, so that all of us can work together to build up the body of Jesus Christ. That's God's DEI. And guess what? I don't need 1600 Pennsylvania to tell me we don't need DEI. I'm living DEI. I know what God can do. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it down through the years. I've seen him do it here at this church. He used many people to bless me. And as I finish this thought today, as a young deacon, I was experiencing some trouble. I was now, at that time, I'd become a single father. Trouble was in my way. And I didn't come to church a couple of times. Well, actually, I think it was about a month. When I came back, Pastor Kimmel said, "Look here, boy." He don't want to call me boy. "Where you been?" And I was heeing and hawing. And this is what he said: "Don't stop coming to church." I ain't get it. Didn't get it then. But he was telling me that the church is really the body. And if you run from the body, you run into problems. You need to come to the body to be blessed. And down through the years, God would send men and women in my life. During that difficult time, there was a deacon, Sammy Jackson. He would tell me, "Keep saying good morning." Deacon Robert Scurry, he'd tell me, "Stay with it, Ronnie." He wouldn't listen to me whining. He wouldn't listen to me going on and on about my troubles. "Ronnie, stay with the master. Ronnie, stay with it." The people of God talking to this young deacon who was having his own issues. They didn't go deep trying to explain all of the oracles of God. They didn't go deep giving me explanations of words. They just dropped some wisdom on me. "Keep saying good morning." In other words, keep experiencing God's grace morning by morning. Stay with it, Ronnie. Don't give up. God's got your back. Stay with it. Don't run from it. Because the shepherd of the house knew that if I ran from it, I would run to something else. So God lets the shepherd teach me what it means to stay with the Lord. God used his church. God used his body to minister to me. And some 40 years later, here I am, because I stayed with it. That last verse essentially says to us that we're all interconnected. We need each other. I need you. You need me. Hezekiah Walker wrote that beautiful song. I need you. You need me. We are all a part of God's body. He designed us to meet the needs of each other. God speaks to his church through the body of Christ, through you, so that God can do something in you. God speaks. He uses different ways, diverse ways, through spiritual gifts. He uses each one of us. And all that call themselves a child of God, you are included. Thank God for DEI. All right. Let us pray. God, we come down this morning thanking you for your word today, Lord. We thank you that you've allowed us to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that somebody responds to your word, that I want to be saved. So Lord, we thank you for this time, Lord, and we thank you that somebody heard this today and somebody needs to respond. Soften their hearts. Give them the okay to come just as they are. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.